Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today, Mark chapter 4. In Mark 4, Jesus is saying, anyone with ears, listen. That's the theme. Mark 4, 9, anyone with ears, listen. Mark 4, 11, to you, disciples, you're permitted to understand, but to all the outsiders, I use parables. Mark 4, 24, pay attention. If you listen, you will understand. But if you don't, what little understanding you have will be taken away. Simply, three parables we're going to read today. We're going to do it fast because we're going to end with another testimony. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. So Mark 4, 21. Here we go. Mark 4, 21. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket? No. I'm just kidding. Just sing the song. Sing the song, all right? Or put it under a bed? Of course not. Because a lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the light, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to understand should listen. I spin those around on accident, I promise. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. But to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. I can't read that without singing the song. But the point is this, the distinguishing mark of a true believer is that they respond to God's word. Up on the screen. The distinguishing mark of a true believer is that you respond to God's word. Do you want to know who's a believer and who's not? Who's responded? It's that simple. John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's that simple. True followers of Christ respond to God's word. They respond to what they hear. It affects them. It's real to them, and they surrender to the voice of truth. Now, here's my warning. To do nothing with God's word is to make a choice. To do nothing with the gospel, the offer of salvation that Christ holds out to you, to do nothing with it is making a choice. To just think I'm going to play the neutral. I'm not going to get too radical over here, you Jesus freak. I'm just going to be one of the normal Christians. The gospel is that Christ is your substitute. Not only did he pay for all of your sins, that's not enough. If he just got you to zero, you would screw it up again. He gave you perfection of his life of righteousness that nobody could accomplish but him. You traded places. That is the gospel. And if you respond to that and say, I'm in, God's working in your heart. So if I were to ask people who knew you, your friends, your family, what's the treasure of your friend's heart? What would they say? Would they say it's Christ? Would they say that it's light? What would they say? Well, this parable is saying that if you have the light, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. My kids are always embarrassed of me. Next parable. Let's keep going. 26. Parable of the growing seed. You think you know where this is going, but you don't. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Uh-huh, I've heard this one. No, you haven't. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces crops on its own. The Greek word there is automaton, where we get our word automatically. Just happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, there's a leaf blade that pushes through. I'm speaking to a bunch of farmers like I know what I'm talking about. Then the heads of wheat are formed. Finally, it ripens. And then as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes, harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. God is the one who grows the kingdom of God. God is the one who grows the kingdom. In this parable, the farmer plants the seed, and then what happens? He goes to sleep. He takes a nap. The farmer, this is going to be offensive to you farmers, don't take it that way. The farmer doesn't play a role in the crop actually growing. I know. Sorry, seed man. That's God's work. You can't make it grow. You can treat it. You can make it look pretty. You can plant it. But that's it. That's it. The seed grows into the ground. Fascinated with this. It dies. And then we barely even know how it works. And all of a sudden, it starts to grow. If you leave a seed out of the ground, it stays a seed forever. But if it's in the ground, if it's planted, God does the rest. We play no part of photosynthesis. We can't speed that up. We can't slow it down. It's out of your control. A farmer plants the seed and God does the rest. That's 1 Corinthians 3. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, plant seeds of the gospel. Plant them. And don't worry about the rest. Tell the world who Christ is. Let your light shine, plant the seed, make a disciple, and he'll take care of the rest. He will grow the crop. This is encouraging to me. You want to know why this is so encouraging to me? Because I take this stuff so personally when someone decides to not follow Christ and when someone decides to follow Christ. Like it's somehow on me. And it'll just wreck my day. I will weep over non-believers. It's not on me. And I will rejoice when people say they want to follow Christ. That had nothing to do with me. I didn't convince them. And when somebody decides to not follow Christ, I know what's on the line. And it haunts me. The wax figurine before a furnace, that's not even doing justice to what really is. The biblical descriptions of hell are more terrifying than that. So when I tell somebody the gospel and they don't respond, I start to question, did I say something wrong? Was I not clear enough? Should I have tried harder? Should I have pleaded with them more? And then I'll ask, did I try too hard? Did I push him away? No. Did I not pray enough? And you just start to go down this rabbit hole that'll drive you mad when God says, it's my work. You just plant the seed. You just shine the light. I'll do the rest. He says in John 3, the wind blows wherever it wants. You can't see where it's coming from or where it's going. You can just see its effects. Same with those born from above. This is crazy, but Luke 17, Jesus says, you cannot say the kingdom of God is over there. You cannot say, here is the kingdom of God. Luke 17, you should have read it in your Bible plan. He'll say, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in your hearts. Wherever God is the king of someone's heart, that's where he rules. That's where he reigns. The kingdom of God is among you. It's not in this place or that building or this label. I know, that's hard. But up on the screen, if Christ is your Savior, your real Savior, you are already in the kingdom. Let's keep going. Last one, Mark chapter 4, verse 30. I told you we're going quick. The best is yet to come, okay? And it's not my part. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What short story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can even make its nest in its shade." Jesus used many similar stories to illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus is saying in this, I have a picture. That's a mustard seed, the itty bitty, and there's a mustard tree. So here's what he's saying. Small beginnings are no indication of where this thing is going. He's saying this to his disciples because right now there's 12 of them and a few stragglers. And they think this whole thing is fragile. Christianity. It's so sensitive. It's kind of hopeless. It's as small as a mustard seed. But Christianity, he is saying, will grow into a massive tree. That God will do it, and all the powers of hell will not be able to stop it. That's Jesus' words. So look at what he's done now. Look how many of you have your faith in Christ. Look at what he's doing in the world. So to sum it all up, let your light shine. Don't try to hide it. Don't be embarrassed. Are you his or are you not? Are you ashamed? Or are you proud to side with Christ? Second thing, God will grow the seeds. You just got to plant them. It's not on you. It's not on your efforts to make people believe. Just keep planting seeds. And then third, if you get discouraged, look at what he's doing in the world. Look at all that he's done.